All right, praise God. Well, it's Christmas, right? Christmas season. You guys know we're going to jump into the Word, switch gears. We did Thanksgiving. We did the I Love My Church series. And so now we're going to break off into a three-week series, a three-week message. It's called God With Us, right? And you guys already know a lot of churches across the country started the Advent series. A lot of them started it last week about what it means and what we find in this season, right? And the word Advent means that it's coming. The Messiah, right? The coming of Christ and what that means. And so we're going to be spending a lot of time in the Word about what it means for the God, the creator of the universe, the Alpha and the Omega, to come down and to take human form and how that changes and the impact that it has in our life. And now we have hope, love, joy, and peace because God is with us. Amen? So I don't know about you guys, but have you guys find yourself in a situation that you thought was like absolutely hopeless? Have you ever felt like that? And it feels like there's no joy. There's just anxiety. There's almost like this dread about your life. Have you ever found yourself in something like that? Yeah. And that can happen, you know. That's to live, is to have that experience. And I want to tell you guys a quick story as I was kind of preparing for the message. Because the focus of today's message is around hope and love, right? And sometimes in life, we're going to find ourselves in a situation where, man, we're in the middle of a bad place. And you can see like no way out, and you feel almost trapped, where you have no hope, right? And so let me tell you guys a little story about two fishermen that went out. They own a private little boat, and how many of you guys watched The Deadliest Catch? You guys ever watched that? Yeah, right? That kind of gives you an idea. It's not that big of a commercial boat, but it's a small private boat that these two gentlemen own. And in 2017, the two of them went out to go. They same thing, right? They put the little baskets out, or the cages, and they put them down at the bottom of the ocean, and then they try to catch lobster and crabs, right? And then they sell those, and that's how they made a good living. And so this is actually was on the news. CBS did a piece on it. There's a gentleman by the name of John Aldridge and Anthony Sosinski. Now, the two of them live in Long Island, so it's a East Coast side, so you guys know where New York is, Long Island. There's this little town called Montauk there, and they would go, and they were commercial fishermen. That's what they would do, just the two of them, though. It was a lot of them. They would go out at night, and so they went out in the middle of the night to go pick up, have put their traps down, and then they were going back out to go now pick them up, right? You guys have seen Deadliest Catch. They have to go, and they have the hook, and they pick up you guys are familiar, yes? So the boats themselves, right? You guys know that they keep the lobster and the crabs. They keep them alive, right? Because they want to make sure that you when you bring them to, you know, you guys would go to Red Lobster. They still have them, and you pick that one. That's mine, right? That's the live one. So they want to bring them back alive. And so they had a big ice chest that was covering that was what they used to cover the hole where they would put the live lobster and the live crabs, okay? One of the guys was middle of the night. The other guy's asleep. There's only two of them, right? He has a hook that he was using to pull an ice chest off, and the hook was wooden, and it broke, right? So you can imagine he was putting all his weight and all his strength into that, and what happened, as soon as you kind of get an idea what happens, it broke, and he flipped over backwards and fell overboard, right? Middle of the night, 40 miles out to sea. Think about that. 40 miles out to sea, right? The water's cold. And then he realized, and the first thing that happened to him is he started to panic, because he knew that his partner, Anthony, was asleep. And so the boat was actually on autopilot, and it just kept going, right? Middle of the night in the ocean. And you can see, right? And so he starts to immediately feel like, he starts to feel this panic, this sense of dread that he's thinking that he's going to die, right? I mean, imagine that. Have you ever felt yourself in that situation? You're like, oh my gosh, the absolute terror. He starts thinking about what's going on, what's going to happen with his life. And he's like, the one thing in the interview that, and I read it, it says, I started to think about my family, right? I started to think about all the people that love me. And I knew that I had to fight. I knew that I had to calm myself down. Now he's out in the middle of the ocean, right? And so the first thing he notices, he starts noting that his boots are keep weighing him down. But instead of taking them off, right, what he does is he does something brilliant. Isn't God, God gives him a little idea, right, a little nugget. He actually took the boot off. And have you ever gotten like a cup of water or something and put it under the water upside down? What happens to it? It comes back up, right? So he's actually what he did. He took off one of his boots, he put it in, and he noticed that it floated because the air was trapped in it. He did that with the other one, right? So now he has his boots in his armpit, and he's swimming. An hour goes by. Nobody. Nobody even knows he knows his partner's asleep. Nobody. Pitch black. He's afraid. Can you imagine just being that, right? And so then he's stuck there. He's swimming for 3 hours. 3 hours go by. On the fourth hour, his partner wakes up and realizes that he's gone overboard. He calls the Coast Guard, and by that time, what's usually out in the ocean? That sharks, right? So he starts to see that two sharks start kind of circling where he's at. And he starts, and obviously he's praying, he's like, but they don't come. They just, like, maybe they check him out, right? Maybe he hadn't eaten enough turkey, like me. I would have no chance. They'd be like, that guy looks juicy. He was a bit more fit than me. But after 3 hours, nothing, right? Imagine that, 3 hours. And he keeps, instead of, what did he need? He didn't give up hope, even when everything looked terrible for him. So when he's still floating out there, he's turned his floating, and then he sees in the distance one of those, a fishing buoy, right? It looks like a big ball. Remember like 5 years ago, there were like all the trend that everybody had one of those balls that, and you probably bought one, and you're like, I'm going to buy one. I'm going to do all kinds of sit-ups on it. It's like a big ball like this. You guys have seen those? It's kind of like that, but they use them to what? To tell, so the fishermen know that there is a trap or a cage below. And he spotted one, so he swam over on, and he just holding on for dear life onto this ball. It's called a buoy, a fishing buoy. Now he's there. 5 hours pass. 6 hours pass. 7 hours pass. 8 hours. 9 hours. 10 hours. 11. 12 hours. Right? And then finally, this is one thing. He saw somebody way off in the distance, and he was crying for help, and they kept going by. And then like 2 hours later, finally, the Coast Guard came. And what? Saved him. Can you imagine being in his position? I couldn't imagine it. I would have just drowned right now. With how heavy I am, the shark's going to come and eat me, right? And what I'm trying to say is that, listen, sometimes in life you're going to have these situations that happen where it feels like there's absolutely no hope. But there's always hope if you look for it. There's always hope if you hang on to it. There's always hope. Right, the thing that kept him alive, the things that gave him hope, was what? The people that he loved, and then knowing, right, that he was loved by his family, because he wasn't even thinking about himself. He says, in fact, they asked him, the Coast Guard, after they picked him up, they said, "What gave you?" He says, "Listen, when we have this kind of call, we're not even looking for a person that's alive. We're looking for a body, because we know that you've disappeared." You fell off your boat 12 hours ago. So we're not looking for somebody that's alive. We're usually looking for bodies. And he says, what kept me alive is, he says, there's no way that I can die like this. I have to live for my family because I don't want to break their heart. So he wasn't thinking about himself, right? Now, how does that apply to us today? You might be in the middle of a storm. You might be in a situation where you feel like, man, how do I hold on? Or if you reflect back on what God did, where you were in that place, and that you were in desperate need of something. He was in desperate need of what? Saving. Just like every one of us in here, right? We're in desperate need of a Savior. And what we celebrate when we talk about Christmas is the fact that there was no way to get to heaven. I keep saying this. Listen, when we study who God is, that God is good and he's holy and perfect. And then you look at us and we examine our lives and we see how flawed we are. And we see how we are, I'm just going to say it, right? How broken we are as people. And how much we need of a Savior. It changes everything, right? And so that's what we celebrate. That's what we're looking forward as we talk about Christmas, is that we're going to celebrate that God is with us. That He didn't stay out there, that He came down, and that He actually made a way for us to have a relationship with the Father by putting our faith in Him as Lord and Savior. So let's go ahead and turn our Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. And we're going to be reading out of Matthew 1, and we're going to start reading in verse 18. Matthew chapter 1, we're going to start in verse 18. How many of you guys are there? And we can also follow along here, okay? And it says, "This is how the birth of Jesus the Messiah came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be pregnant through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was faithful to the law, and yet did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, 'Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid. Take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins.' And all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: 'The virgin will conceive, give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel,' God with us. And when Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him. But he took Mary home, and he took Mary home as his wife. But he did not consummate the marriage until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name of Jesus." Amen. Amen. So, man, this is just we're gonna be spending a lot of time in the different Gospels. Matthew is great because he gives you a really good account of. Matthew is very focused on, and you'll see this a lot. He says, "And this was done to fulfill what was spoken about the Messiah. This was done to fulfill the prophecy," right? He's talking about Isaiah chapter 9, if you guys know it. And so, what? Long story short, let me go back to it. The number one thing, first thing we're going to take away from this message is, number one, that Christmas is a celebration that God is with us, bringing hope and revealing His love. First point is that Christmas is the celebration that God is with us, bringing hope and revealing His love, right? And we see that in chapter 123, verse 23, where it says, "The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel." And it says right there, which is that God is with us. Now, I know oftentimes this, we're not going to go dive into it because we don't have a lot of time, but if you just on a surface, right, look into, not looking into it, like, there's no other faith or religion where the God, the creator of the universe, comes down and takes the form of a human being. It doesn't exist. It's always a God that's out there. And that's what's so unique and so, I would say, encouraging about the Christian faith, is that it's not just a God that's absent. It's a God that cares. Right? It's a God that cares enough to send His Son to get involved. And that's what we celebrate, that it's God with us, Emmanuel, right? Bringing hope and revealing His love to us. Because outside of that, listen, without Jesus, man, there's no hope. Without knowing the love of God and really understanding the love of God, the sacrificial love of God, you get all kinds of different variations of love, right? And everybody thinks they do what's good for themselves, but we have to have an absolute, and we have to build our foundation on the way that God loves us and the hope that we find in Jesus Christ. And so when we see what's happening here, this is, I know we can gloss over it, but when you actually see, right, the fullness of what God is doing in this passage, it's amazing. It is truly amazing. Not just the social stuff that we see, right? Because Joseph finds himself in an interesting predicament, doesn't he? He's like, what, the Holy Spirit came and you're pregnant? Okay, right? How many of us would have not gotten that kind of faith? We're like, I don't know about that, right? But he's walking by faith as well, and the angel of the Lord came to him, right? But what's important, and this is how you define when somebody really loves you, right? When you're in in the middle of a tragedy or catastrophe or an emergency, who do you call? Do you call somebody that's lukewarm? You call your friend that always flakes on you all the time? No, you call on the people you know you can rely on, right? Because why? Because they will show up. They are gonna go. Yes? That's how you know people really care. You can count the people that really care about you probably on one hand, to be honest with you. Because when you're in a crisis, you're probably calling just a handful of people. Does that make sense? Excuse me. But this is how we know that God loves us, right? God didn't send an angel. I mean, he sent an angel to tell them, right? But who did he send? He sent what? He sent his son. He sent Jesus. Here's the other thing too, right? How many of you guys have taught your kids how to ride a bike? Anybody? Right? When you taught them how to ride a bike, did you just do it like, were you sitting on the porch? Were you just watching them fall over and over and over? Keep trying. You're going to get it. Pedal. No, don't go this way. You're wobbly. Move this. What do you do after? What do you actually have to do when you're training the kid to ride their bike? You're holding, right? Or you're holding the seat, and then you're running behind them, right? Because you care. You don't want to see them falling down. It's the same way for us. God could have said, hey, people, do better. Hey, don't do that. How does that actually work out, right? You have to get up. I see my brother carrying that little baby girl, right? She's going to start walking here pretty soon. And when she starts walking, what are you going to do? Right? You don't want her to fall. It means that you're actively involved, right? You're baby-proofing the house. And so when it means that when we celebrate that God is with us, it means the fact that he actually came down. It wasn't just that he was just telling us from afar to say, oh, I love you from way over here, Tony. Praying hands emoji. I love you. Right? He calls me. I'm in an emergency. I need you. A praying hands emoji for you. No, it means that we show up. That we're present. This is why God came down himself. Because we need to be safe from ourselves. We need to be safe from our sin. And so that means that God came near. Because, listen, it's very difficult to have relationship and intimacy, right, from a distance. That you need to be present, right? That we long, as human beings, don't we long for fellowship? Don't we long to talk to somebody? Don't we long for somebody to hold our hand when we're going through the struggles, when you have bad news, when you're hurting, when you get that terrible diagnosis, when somebody that we love passed away? Don't you long for fellowship? Don't you long for somebody to see you in your hurt and your pain? Hold your hand and say, listen, it's going to be all right, right? And we can do that with each other. What we're celebrating at Christmas time is that the God of the universe comes down to be that person for you. Because we can only provide so much comfort to each other, amen? But what is it when Jesus comes down and provides you comfort? What is it when the Holy Spirit fills you and says, I see your hurt and your pain. We're going to get through this thing, right? Because I'm not a liar. And so we have to trust that God is good. This is why Christmas is so awesome. And yeah, you know, I don't know about you guys, but like, did you guys already put up your Christmas tree and everything? And all the lights and the Christmas inflatables? We have those, right? Does it feel good? Like, it's just as a reminder, right? A sense of warmness. But we're here to celebrate, man, that the God that was out there came. He took on human form so that we might be saved, so we can have comfort, so we can know the Father. And that's what we're talking about, is that God is with us. It's not just that he was coaching humanity like from far away. He came down and he walked with us. And you're not going to find that in any other. Go back and study it, right? Of course, study the Bible first. But if you look at any comparative religion course, even on the surface, you're not going to find that there's any other place where God himself comes to take human form and to take your sin debt on the cross so that you might have a way back to God. You're not going to find it. Except through the person of Jesus Christ. Amen? Second thing we see in today's passage is number two. The God with us means that God came to save. The God with us means that God came to save. In verse 21, Verse 21 tells us, let me go back and read it and find it. And it says, she will give birth to a son, and you will give him the name of Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. His people from their sins. Now, I don't know about you, right? If you look at your life and you say, what is your greatest need right now? Some of you would say, like, well, I need to lose some weight, right? That's not your greatest need. Although some of us do, like myself, right? What is your greatest need, right? Could be I need some finances. I'm having some financial issues, right? That might be my greatest need. I might be having some relationship issues. I might have some conflict that I need to resolve. That's still not our greatest need. Our greatest need as human beings is to be forgiven of our sins. Our greatest need is to be saved, right? We are made for God in his image and his likeness for him to worship him. And we can't do it on our own. All the self-help books and all the things that you try to do on your own aren't going to get you into heaven. Not. And the fact, the only reason that we have a way back to him is because Jesus came down. And so the greatest expression that we have, right, in terms of love, is that God stepped into our mess. Every one of us in here should say amen. Amen to that. That God stepped into our mess. And some of you, if you look at your life, you say, man, my life was a hot mess, right? And I'm thankful that Jesus stepped into that to break those chains, to save me from myself, right? To break some of the generational curses that are happening in our family, yeah? And so he stepped in to redeem us. He came to save us. That's what's so powerful. Verse 21, it says, you shall call him Jesus because he will save his people from their sins. And so one of the things we're reminded of is Christmas time. Is this when we're walking around with that kind of burden of unforgiveness or conflict? What do we need to go back? We need to go back to the cross. We need to go back to why Jesus came. He came to forgive us of our sins. Now that requires what? That we do what? Repent. Turn away. Seek reconciliation with God first and then with people. Yes? And so if you're carrying around that sin, that burden, that conflict, we don't have to do that anymore, right? Jesus came already. You know, isn't it funny that sometimes we're carrying around the burden? You know? And Jesus has already paid that off. That makes sense? You're still walking around with a bill, right? Like a due notice. And Jesus already paid that sin debt. Why don't you just give it to him? Does that make sense? He came to set us free. He came to save us, right? And I don't know about you guys, but listen, you guys have heard me say this before. Our church, when everybody shows up, there's like 50, 55 of us, right? Every single one of us in here knows somebody that doesn't know Jesus as their Savior. We don't. I mean, we know, right? They don't know them. They don't know the gift of Jesus. They have a misunderstanding of who he is. And so for us, the application is that there's people that we know that need to know who he is. They need to be saved from their sins. Now, how do we do that, right? We tell them, repent, you're going to hell. Is that the best way to invite them at Christmas time? No, probably not. And in your heart, in the back of your head, you want to do that, right? You see them come around and you're like, sinner, you're going to hell. No, you don't do that. That's not the way that Jesus wants us to model it, right? He wants us to remember that he came out of love. But in the same way, we have to invite people, right? Out of love, out of his kindness for the greatest gift. The greatest gift that we have is Jesus. And it's meant to be shared, right? It's not to be meant like it's your own little precious gift that you don't get to share with anybody, right? I told you guys this, the wedding gift that we have, this glass bowl that we got, it's been in our pantry for, what, 20 years now. It's beautiful. Never been used. 25 years, sorry. It's because I love you so much, it feels like it was just 20 years ago. See how I recover from that? I thought it was like a year ago, I was so in love with her. I told you guys, we got this beautiful gift, right? It's a beautiful, like, punch bowl. It's like crystal or something like that. I was like, man, that's fancy. It's too fancy for us. We're eating out of styrofoam plates. Put that away. It's because somebody's going to break it, yeah? We don't want to wash dishes. It's okay. And so it stays there. I don't know how much somebody spent on this fancy gift, but it's put away up in the pantry, right? That gift is not being used. You have the most amazing gift in Jesus Christ. What do we better use it? You better share it. It's not going to run out, right? Let's keep reading. We're going to turn now to Luke chapter 2. We're going to be in verses 4 and 7. Verse 4 says, "So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, to the town of David, because he belonged to the house and the line of David. And he went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. And while they were there, the time came for the baby to be born. And she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them." Amen. So you guys are kind of seeing in Matthew, he's saying what happened, right? He's explaining that Mary was pregnant with a spirit, right? You guys remember that? And then how he came and revealed himself to Joseph. I'm sorry, guys. The bronchitis is still killing me. And now we're seeing in Luke the actual birth of Jesus, yes? And what's happening? They declare that they have to have a census, right? They're living in Nazareth, which is by Galilee, which is in the north. And they have to travel south to Bethlehem in Judea. Do you guys know? Do you guys know how far it is? It's about 100 miles. Can you imagine? You're being 9 months pregnant, and you're on a donkey going 100 miles. That's from here to Bakersfield, guys. You'd be like, man, we're not going, right? The baby's being born in Nazareth. But that's not what happened, because what? What had to happen? It was a prophecy, right? Where was the Messiah going to be born? In Bethlehem, that's right. And so we see the prophecy being fulfilled in Luke chapter 2. And what's interesting is that what you're going to find out here is that, listen, God could have came in all kinds of different ways. God is God, yes? And he could have came down like, you know, angels. He could have came down on a cloud. He could have came down riding a lion, on a stallion. He could have done whatever he wanted to do. How did he come? As a baby, right? To be born in a manger. Now, when I read this verse, it doesn't say, "And she wrapped him in cloth, and he was born at Cedar Sinai in Beverly Hills with the best doctor and the best nurses and a crib made of gold." Right? It doesn't say that. What does he say? It says what? "He was placed in a manger because there was no guest room available to him." The God, the creator of the universe, sends his son to be born in the most humble of conditions. Does that make sense? Now, why does that matter? Why does it matter? Because if God had come down, I'll be quite honest with you, right? If God had come down and been born with everything, in a palace and everything, you would have a hard time following that God. We would, yes? We would. Because why? I can't relate to that God. That God, he doesn't have the kind of problems that I have. That makes sense? That guy has, you know, first king type problems. He doesn't understand the problems I have here in Reedley or Sanger or Orange Cove, right? So, but he came and he sent his son to be born in the most humble of conditions, right? And so that number three, and this is why this matters, right? Because God with us means that God understands our struggle. God with us means he understands our struggle. Jesus was born into poverty. I don't know if you guys know that. He was born into hardship. He experienced betrayal and rejection and loneliness. It's not the God out there that he had this like privileged life. I don't know if you guys know this, but if you guys see what happens to Jesus, where he's getting run out of town, he's getting threatened, people are trying to stone him alive. And it didn't say that he was riding around on a chariot with a stallion. Where did he go everywhere? He was walking everywhere, right? We don't even let our kids walk to school. We're like, that's too far. You gotta tell them that Jesus walked everywhere. Sorry, guys. Keep praying for me. Christmas reveals to us, right, that we have a Savior. That he understands what it means to feel like us. Right, listen, your emotions, they're real, right? God has given them to us. Well, there's no shame in that. There's going to be some times where we feel joy and anger and depression and loneliness and anxiety. That's the human condition, guys. That's okay. Right? We can name it, we could tame it. We have Jesus Christ, the Savior, who understands. This is a song that came out about 5 years ago. It's called He Understands by, I think it's Chandler Moore that sings it. And it's one of my, it's an old school song, but I love it because he says, what he over and over again says, when you're feeling down inside, you're feeling broken inside, He understands. When you're feeling betrayed, He understands. When you're feeling lonely, He understands, right? And so there's not a thing that we haven't gone through in our human experience that Jesus hasn't experienced. Does that make sense? He understands us. God understands me. And that really is a blessing. Thank you. Because isn't there a difference, right? When actually somebody has this happened to you before? Where you're going through a specific type of storm in your life. And somebody that has never had an ounce of experience in that thing, they come alongside you and say, it's going to be okay. You'll be okay, brother, sister. You're going to be fine. Just keep praying about it, right? And they're trying to be empathetic. They're trying to sympathize with you. But in your heart of hearts, part of you wants to say, you have no idea what I'm going through. You have no idea the pain that I'm going through. You have no idea the burden that I carry right now. You don't have no idea how broken I am right now. Right? But it's different. When God has used somebody ahead, right, and has built that same situation in their life, and God has used them and turned it around, and then God brings you that person, and that person starts to speak truth to your situation. That person starts to minister to you, starts to encourage you in your walk, starts to walk alongside you in your brokenness, and starts to show you how good God is, despite of it, gives you some hope, shares with you, disciples you, walks alongside you. That makes a difference, doesn't it? Why? It's not that both places are not coming from a good place, but it's that one person has the felt experience of what that means, to what it really means to have your heart broken, to really, really means to wake up with all kinds of snot, like ugly stuff happening. You guys know what I'm talking about? When you wake up like that, you know that you're going through the storm, yeah? And then somebody comes alongside to say, I see you, I love you, Jesus is good, right? Let's keep going. Let's keep going because God is good. Let's work through this thing. Does that make sense? And so that experience matters. Jesus is someone who understands. Why? Because he's not like the person that says, your hands emoji, I see you, I'm empathizing with you. No. He says, man, I felt that. In fact, when we go on and compare, I said, whenever I'm going through like a pity party, right? How many of you guys like to have pity? You have a big old pity party. Invitation, party of one, right? Happen to you? Yeah, it happens. And it's true, right? You start feeling all bad for yourself. Oh, it's so terrible. And I said, man, when you start thinking like that, just look at the cross. Just look at, and the Holy Spirit's going to do one of these to you. Right? Silencio. Right? Because in our nature, in our flesh, aren't we like, don't we whine a lot in our flesh? Don't we feel like, oh, man, that's not right. And, that's even how your flesh talks. That's how mine talks. It starts whining and complaining. And all we have to do is look at the person of Jesus Christ. And I'll say, stop. Man, my Lord and Savior went to the cross. He was beaten, humiliated, spit upon. He endured that shame for me, so that I might be forgiven, so I might feel his love, right? And that immediately says, like, pity party? I'm not going. Somebody else can go to that, right? That makes sense? Jesus understands. And that's why he understands every emotion, every struggle, because he lived among us, right? In fact, I don't know if you guys know this, there's that campaign that started coming out, like, last year. It's called He Gets Us. Have you guys seen they jar you, right, when you watch those videos about some people, like people being homeless and people with tattoos. And sometimes, because we're in human nature, we're tribal, right? We see those people, and sometimes we're like, if we're honest, we're like, yeah, when I watch those, I get convicted. I'll be quite honest with you. Because I'm judgmental. I am. My human nature, I have to stop being that. So when he says that Jesus gets us, it brings you back to this, yeah, I have to be more like Jesus. Does that make sense? Because if he gets them, then we need to get the people that are often depicted in those videos, right, in the commercials. But that whole point of that is to say, like, listen, in your brokenness, right, in your pain, wherever you are, Jesus loves you. He sees you. He wants us to have that same kind of compassion for our brothers and sisters, even those that don't know who Jesus is. What is the application for us, right? It's not just that God is out there, but that God came. Like I said, when you're sharing with somebody that's gone through that story with you, it makes it a lot easier for you what? To open up, to share, to talk, to do life. Jesus has already come, so what? We're encouraged to pray. We're encouraged to ask him for help. It's not like he's surprised by our emotion. Sometimes even if our emotion is angry, it might be an emotion of confusion or prayer, but we have to call out to him and say, Lord, you've already been here. Walk me through this, right? Walk me through this. And you allow Jesus to step in and to comfort you, right, in the moments of pain, in your moments of heartache. Listen, you're not God. You're not God. God is sovereign and God is in control and he sees you and he loves you. That's why he came. That's why he came. Hebrews 4:15 tells us, it says, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to empathize with weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet he did not sin. He's able to, in all of our flaws, in all of our weakness, Jesus sees us, right? He empathizes with us. And he's not the God out there, but he's the God that cares enough to get involved. And number four, right, the fourth point in the passage, if we go back to Matthew, and we read in verse 123, it says, the virgin will conceive and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. It's the name of the series. It says that what? That God is going to be with us. That's the introduction. If you go to the last chapter in Matthew, Matthew 28, you're going to find that it says something else. That God is with us, but then he's going to go on and give us an amazing promise. And you guys are going to see this. That's the second half of the Great Commission. If I can just find it, please flag it. 18 says, then Jesus came to them, right? Verse 18. So chapter 28, verse 18, it says, Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven, all authority on heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And here's where he leaves it. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Always to the end of the age, right? It matters that Jesus came to be with us. But the closing verse in Matthew 28, it says, and I am always with you to the very end of the age. That's number four. That God with us means that he will never leave us. That God with us means he will never leave us. The whole gospel is about that. I don't know if you know that. He came for the forgiveness of our sins, right? For our faith in him. And that he doesn't leave. Right? I don't know how many of you guys, I'll be quite honest with you. Like, listen, what's that? I keep saying the little baby girl, right? What happens when, if you take a, we have a niece that's like this. As soon as somebody leaves, what happens? Oh, she's looking, huh? She's looking to where is that? Where's mom? Where's grandma? Where's that familiar face? Because we have a sense of what? We want to be protected. We want to be safe. And listen, I don't care how old you are in this room, we still have that same need. We still have that need to belong. We still have that need to have, for safety, right? Emotional safety, for physical safety, a sense of security, right? A sense of belonging. And that never goes away. I don't care how old you are. That never goes away. Because God hardwired us for him. God hardwired us to feel at home when we are with the Father through his Son, through faith in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit and encouraged. And then in the body of believers, right? And so this is why when we read this chapter and we celebrate Christmas and we realize that, man, God cares enough that he loves us, that he sent his son to die on the cross, but that he's not going to leave me and he's not going to forsake me, right? See, like that guy that was in the ocean and he was all alone, forgotten. He thought that nobody was going to find him. He was in need of a Savior. That's all of our story. We're in need of a Savior and he's come. His name is Jesus. He gives us the greatest gift that we can have is freedom of our sin. But when we put our faith in him, we have access to the Father. We have the Holy Spirit. We have gifts and talents and abilities through the Holy Spirit, right? And that's why we have hope. That's why we hang our hat on his love, because he is awesome and amazing, right? So Matthew, in today's series, right, it starts off with that God is with us, but it ends that I'm always with you. That's something that's amazing because, listen, hope isn't something that is just like, you know, it's eternal, right? When the God of the universe says, I love you, I see you, I'm going to provide for you, you can trust God. He is faithful. That love doesn't end after like a season, right? It's not like sometimes you have, even our human relationships sometimes, friendships that come and go. We have even relationships that come and go. God's love for us is eternal. When we put our faith in Jesus Christ, it's eternal. It's not just like momentary. It's not just a season right now where with all the lights and all the different things and the songs and the music. No, God's love stays through the thick and thin, right? The good times and bad times. He will never leave us. And the other thing is that he doesn't abandon us, right? Because there's no distance that can separate us from God's love. There's no distance. There's no separation, right? Like sometimes we have separation anxiety. Listen, God is as near or as far away as we want him to be. Now you have, like I said, some close friends, some family that you call on. But you also have a Savior. His name is Jesus. And you call upon him and he's always there. There's no distance of separation, right? He's a prayer away. If you're in that place, call on him. Call on a brother and sister, but you call on Jesus first. He's the one who always answers. He's the one who sees you. He's the one that loves you. He's the one that makes a way. So in life, right, you're going to have struggles. You're going to go through natural times of heartache and disappointment. And the enemy is still out there trying to rob us of our joy, yeah? But when fear steps in, what do we have to do? Remind ourselves. Remind ourselves that we're loved, right? Remind ourselves that we're never alone. That Christ is with us, right? That Christ is with me. That the Holy Spirit, right? Part of the Trinity comes to reside within us. And so as you start to go through this, you got to start applying it, right? That Christmas is not just right now, but it's every single day of your life that you've received the greatest gift in Jesus Christ. Amen. And because we have Jesus, right, we can face tomorrow with hope. We can walk through our pain with confidence. And here's the hard one. We can love others the way that he loves you. We can love others the way that he loves you. Because we're always going to be tested there, I'll be quite honest with you. And you can invite someone else into the story of hope. You've got to share it. It's not just for you. Jesus loves all of us, right? And in the bottom, you have the little closing challenge for all of us, is that we carry the hope of Jesus, right? So we should be speaking life. Should be showing the love of Jesus. If we have to forgive somebody, we need to do that. We need to help somebody. We need to invite somebody. We need to live in awareness as a presence, right? God is still Emmanuel today. It's not like he's not God. He's present. God is with you. Share the message, right? Someone needs you. Someone around you needs the hope of Jesus Christ. And that's what we celebrate, right, at Christmas time. Let's pray. Father God, thank you again for your goodness, Lord. Thank you for your kindness. Thank that you are Emmanuel, God, with us. And Lord God, as we celebrate right now, I know, Lord, there's just a lot of business going on around this time with the lights and the shopping and different things happening. Lord, just help us to remind us, Lord God, that those things are, yes, they make us feel good, but nothing brings peace and joy like you, Lord God. Nothing brings true satisfaction. Digging into a relationship with you. And Lord, sharing the good news of who you are. You are God. You're not the God that's out there. You're God, the God that acts. You're the God that goes first. You're God that shows what it means. It's love in action. It's not just preaching. It's not just teaching me from afar. It's getting involved. Giving me comfort. Mending my broken heart, Lord. Get me through just challenges, Lord God, for all of us, Lord God. And so if that's you this morning, if you're going through a storm right now, might be a relationship issue, might be a financial issue, might be a health issue. Be reminded this morning that you have the greatest gift in Jesus Christ. Dig into who He is. He is God, and He is good. And He's going to see you through these dark times. And He's going to bring people around you to encourage you in your walk and your journey. But it requires that we call out to Him. It requires that we surrender our crown. We bow down. We worship Him for who He is, a Savior. And then we get to just be reminded of His goodness. Reminded of how awesome it is to have a relationship with God. Reminded that He came. And that He's our living hope. And that we get to share the good news of who He is. People who don't know Him. Lord God, that You are Emmanuel. You are our Messiah. You are our Savior. Lord, we adore You. We worship You. Continue to prepare our hearts, Lord God, and be reminded this season. You didn't just come so that we can exchange gifts and wrapping and good food, but You came, Lord God, and we could just live with a heart of gratitude about who You are in our lives. You are the greatest gift that any of us could have received. And we find our hope, and we're reminded of how much You love us this time, Lord, because You came and You are Emmanuel with us. Lord, we love You. In Jesus Christ's name.